The Geek Cave, brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. Gamefly, video games delivered. And GameStop, power to the players. Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to the DK Podcast Gaming segment. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
Oh! I'm Chad.
Theater of the mind. I can't tell you what was happening, but I can tell you that we are powered by GameStop, power to the players, Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past since they want you to look rad today, and Gamefly, video games delivered. And, you know, interesting story about Gamefly in that I was just sitting around my house, right? And I was
minding my own business,
as I am wont to do.
I was just looking at these things. Well,
pants or no pants? I'm trying to paint a mental picture here.
No pants. And
well, of course, no pants. Who wears pants in their own house?
I mean, he's got a point.
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm sitting there.
Boxers or briefs?
Boxer briefs.
Actually, yeah. And I'm looking
stylish and supportive.
I'm looking at the TV, and underneath the TV, because I've got it on a what?
Dust bunnies.
No, I've got it on a TV stand, and I've got these boxes, right, that have...
You should really unpack them. They've been
things
there quite
that
a while.
Look like controllers that I think they're used to play video games, right? Mm-hmm. One says like four on it, and another just has like a letter X, and another one I'm pretty sure is a toaster. But I've heard that there's this company out there.
Oh, yeah, the Nintendo.
The Nintendo, yes. But I've heard that there's this company out there that if you want to try additional products that work with these products, you can rent them? As I understand it, some kind of like weird sorcery where like someone in like a blue outfit shows up at your house and gives you this envelope, and inside is a gam? Oh, wait. Look at my notes. Game. Yes. And you can try the game out for as long as you want, and then when you're done, you put it in the envelope, and the person in blue comes and takes it from you, and it just goes wherever.
Shouldn't that be pronounced envelope-y?
Yeah. Envelope-y, yes.
Anyway,
I'd be more concerned if the person in blue turns into a person in white, because they're going to come to take you away.
That's true. Just like the mailman will take away any games that you are done playing with, Gamefly has a 30-day free trial at geekcavepodcast.com. That's right, the newly redesigned geekcavepodcast.com. Thousands of titles, 58 cents a day if you want to stay on with it. But we'll give you a free 30-day trial. All you have to do is click the link. And I am currently in the middle of Fire Emblem, the latest one for the Nintendo Switch, Three Houses.
Just came out
because they have all of the newest titles right there available for you. I didn't have to leave my house. I didn't have to plunk down $60 for a game I might not like, because truth be told, not a big strategy fan, but Fire Emblem's pretty good. So
he also doesn't like to put on pants.
I don't like putting on pants. You shouldn't have to put on pants to enjoy the video games that you like, or at least try out new ones without having to shell out full price. Don't let the pant Nazis come for you. Gamefly.com or click on the link at geekcavepodcast.com for your free 30-day trial.
I think I've just come up with the pantsies are coming.
The pantsies are coming.
I think I've just come up with Gamefly's new slogan. Gamefly, you don't need pants.
Gamefly, you don't need pants. Thanks for the sponsorship. It's a gaming segment.
That was a fun sponsorship. I was glad to have had them while we did.
Oh, no, they're going to keep us with that.
Yeah. So,
wait.
Gamefly, you don't need pants. Copyright Justin White.
Now they might dump us.
Now they might dump us. All right.
No, that just means I get a little bit of residuals.
So, this is the gaming segment, in case you couldn't tell. And
what?
Yeah, we appreciate your download. Be sure to pass it along to your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. That one guy that you pass when you're out at the park and you're jogging and he's got a beard and he seems friendly, just tell him about the Deep Tape Podcast.
If he has a trench coat, don't talk to him.
No, just
unless a trench coat is required for
the weather. Just write the URL down and throw it at him. That's fine too. Projectile advertisements, if you will.
Watch this.
Yeah, and he's right. Watch this, because our Twitch channel is active once again.
Oh yeah.
And woo, we have been
there's some streamcasts.
We've been doing a lot of stuff. We've played a couple hours of Marvel Ultimate Alliance. We'll get into that in a little bit.
That one was a long one to watch in one set. Break that one up.
Well, sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Just letting our sweet smelling listeners know when you watch it, break it up a bit.
Yeah, and of course,
2 hours is a long time.
And of course, all of our streams are also on our YouTube channel, our new YouTube channel. A lot of weird stuff. So I can't really explain why we have two YouTube channels, but use the one. That's link to geekcavepodcast.com. Yeah, use the one that's been updated recently. We've also got videos of Detroit Become Human. That is a heavy game.
Oh, my God.
Chad, did you see the most recent one? It was Thursday.
No, I watched the first one, and I'm just like, I started wanting to play this.
Yeah, Kara's story gets worse, my friend.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it gets worse, but it's... And we've also been playing Moonlighter, which is super fun.
Moonlighter was hysterical.
Moonlighter's so fun. You gotta pick it up. In fact, if you are a PC gamer and you have the Epic Game Store, I know there's some controversy about the Epic getting exclusives. But one cool thing they're doing is any Epic Game Store customer gets like a free game every month. Moonlighter is the latest free game. Pick it up.
Probably
it's
worth it.
Not very graphically intensive, so you can. No. Chances are you can run it. But it's also available on PS4, Xbox One, and it's one of our reviews in this month's episode. But first, time for some news. Nintendo's being sued.
Again?
The class action lawsuit filed because of
the
Joy-Con.
Drift.
Joy-Con drifting, yes. So here's the rundown of it. This is not the same issue when the Switch launched, which was where the left Joy-Con would sometimes be out of sync with the console. Due to Bluetooth connectivity issues, the antenna that they put inside the Joy-Con, which is already small, now you're covering it up with your big meat hook hands, and that causes drift. I've noticed it in Mario Kart. But if you have it in a charging controller or if you've got it connected to the system, you know, in handheld mode, it's not an issue. This is new, though. This is affecting Joy-Cons that have been released in the past year. About 365 days, right at the end of that one-year warranty. Both Joy-Cons are susceptible to, let's just say that you're playing a platforming game and you're moving Mario to the right and you let go of the stick. Mario's still moving.
Mario's still going to the right.
Mario ain't stopping. That kind of stuff. Or I don't think there's a Call of Duty thing on the Switch, but there is like Paladins and Fortnite, that kind of thing. You're trying to use the right stick to aim and now you're going in a circle.
Yeah, that's...
That kind of thing. But here's the issue is that initially Nintendo was kind of denying that there was a problem and they were charging people $40 for repairs for these Joy-Cons because a lot of them are literally just out of warranty. But we do have an update on that and it's a positive update and that is that Nintendo is going to fix it for free. Of course, this didn't come out until right after the class action lawsuit was filed. But now there's an internal memo that has been released. Vice and Polygon are where we're getting this particular info. Customers may request a refund if they paid to repair their controllers. So it's kind of retroactive. And the memo is simply, quote, believe the customer. Believe the customer. If they say they're having a problem with their Joy-Cons, you replace those Joy-Cons, damn
it. How about believe the third customer?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, believe it once it becomes obvious that this is a trend.
Yeah.
You know, this I'm looking at you, Karen.
This became kind of an issue with and the upcoming next version of the Switch, and people are worried that this problem is going to spill over to the Switch Lite, which we're going to talk about next. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Joy-Con drift is real. It's been widespread enough where a judge has approved, yeah, you can try to seek class action on this. And so Nintendo has come out and said, and they haven't, now let me... clarify, they haven't come out to the public and said this, but these internal memos have been verified and it, obviously Nintendo's not going to be like, yeah, there's a problem with our things, don't buy them. So if you are experiencing Joy-Con drift, and this is moving forward, there's no time limit on this. You can send it in for no charge repair. They will send you a new Joy-Con, or they'll fix the old one. And the memo simply says, we expect our hardware to perform as designed, and we want to put smiles back on customers' faces. So, good on you, Nintendo. I wish it hadn't come to a lawsuit, but you still acted faster than most people.
I'm not saying that this is the reason, and maybe it's just a random coincidence.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that Reggie Fils-Aimé steps down and a guy named Bowser takes over for Nintendo America, and then suddenly there's a class action suit. I'm just like, could there be evil behind this?
They know what they're doing.
And see, I was just thinking to myself, Joy-Con Drift, that sounds like an amazing race game.
Yes. Need for Speed Joy-Con Drift.
It's a new feature, didn't you?
Joy-Con Drift. You know, now you've got a reason for both of you to play with those itsy bitsy tiny controllers.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, Nintendo still riding high. The Switch Lite has been announced. We all knew it was coming. We told you it was coming. Yep. You should listen to us more often.
Tell your friends.
At least once a month.
Come on, Deborah. But yeah, the Nintendo Switch Lite is designed strictly for portable play. You can't remove the Joy-Cons. There's no motion controls. It's got a better battery. You know, it's pretty much Nintendo's like, no, we're not replacing the 3DS. No, baby, we still love you. There's not another person. But seriously, we're replacing the 3DS. Get this instead. Because there was like no 3DS news at E3.
None.
No, none whatsoever. So the Switch Lite coming out this holiday season, it's going to be $199.99.
I won't buy it.
Before you ask, no, we will not have one to give away for our Christmas episode. I already checked. I tried, folks. I tried. The Switch itself getting a hardware upgrade. Most of the stuff's the same. Maybe the Joy-Cons won't drift. And better battery life.
Maybe.
Better battery life. That's really the only... I think they're using...
They're basically changing the chipset out to be more efficient.
More efficient, but not more powerful.
Right.
So keep that in mind.
Well, they don't want to land in Sony or Xbox's shadow.
They don't want to cannibalize yet.
You know, partial upgrade to things.
Yeah. But it's... The Switch is really great. I mean...
Which is a good console.
It's a fun console.
Yeah.
If you go to twitch.tv, you'll notice that we are not streaming Super Mario Maker 2, mostly because everybody else is, and we want to be different. Also, I don't have the game yet. But Mario Maker 2 is like selling like gangbusters.
I do, but I don't have Twitch capability, so...
Yeah. I can hook you up.
Okay, I don't want Twitch capability.
There you go. But... We all will have Twitch capabilities in October for the annual Extra Life Marathon.
Woo! Yes.
It's going to be fun. We are 3/4 of the way to our initial goal already.
It's not even October yet.
Well, you were 3/4 to it, and I haven't even started my fundraising campaign.
So,
I'm starting that at the end of August.
We appreciate everyone and their support so far. We have some great prizes that we're going to be giving away, including a Sega Genesis Mini, which will have just hit stores the month before the marathon. Sega's sending us one to give away. And this is like the miniaturized version of the Sega Genesis with some great games on it. And it's not a PlayStation Classic situation where they're using the PAL versions and it's not going to run great on your TV. This is crisp. This is good. It's not even one of the At Games models. This is a good one. So you can find all those details, dcavepodcast.com/extralife. So Spider-Man's doing well for the PS4.
Yeah, it seems to be selling some.
It's the best.
Money man does whatever money.
It's the best-selling superhero video game of all time. Now, put that into context. Spider-Man has sold 91.6 million copies.
It's a lot of copies.
Yep. Just on the PS4 because it's a PS4 exclusive. Batman Arkham City is at number 2. Batman Arkham City is on 5 consoles and PC.
Yep, that sounds about right.
So, wow. Now, true, one of those consoles is the Wii U, so it shouldn't really count. But still.
Well, yeah, it's just an add-on.
That
Hey, can you rent a Wii U from Gamefly? Because it's not, I mean, it's like an add-on, right?
I don't know, but you can rent Wii U games. You can rent games all the way back to like the PS2 at Gamefly. So nice. That's pretty sweet. So
that's actually kind of amazing.
It is pretty sweet. So yeah, Spider-Man for PS4, the best selling. That's just, I can't even imagine having that many sales. So good for them. Good for them. The game was excellent.
I can't imagine having that many anything.
Yeah, the game was excellent. I'm sure it'll spawn a sequel.
Oh, if they're not working on a sequel by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they're not going. It does mean that I miss out on some of the other Insomniac.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's fine because I love me Spider-Man PS4. Google Stadia is coming out in a few months. None of us are big fans of the idea.
There were some things brought up that I'm not so fond of.
Yeah. Now, see, I was initially like, okay, this might be interesting. So here, this came from like a Reddit Ask Me Anything, which, you know, if you're not going to provide information people like, you probably shouldn't do one of these AMAs. So when Stadia was announced, it sounded like a pretty great deal. Like, yeah, here's the console, whatever. It's not really a console. It's like it's a souped up Chromecast you plug into your TV, but you can use any device that runs Chrome. And for $10 a month, you have the pro service, which will allow you to, you know, rent, you know, you play all these games. And they were specific. They said, choose from a library of games.
Games.
They said that.
Zzz.
Now, let's take out the data cap question because we've run that into the ground. Let's take out like the technology is just not there for some, like most of the Midwest. Let's talk about this promise of games. To be clear, and this is from the Reddit Ask Me Anything. I almost said Ask Me Another, which is another great podcast. To be clear, Stadia Pro is not Netflix for games, as some people have mentioned. You know, like you guys did.
Games.
A closer comparison would be like Xbox Live Gold or PlayStation Plus, where you have access to some free games every month.
Some.
And exclusive discounts. Roughly one free game per month, give or take, starting with Destiny 2, which is already free to play, should I add? Should I add that? I'm going to add that.
Oh, I think we should
add. It's free. It's free now.
It's free now.
Yeah.
You can get it now.
It's free.
Now.
Not now then.
Not soon. Now.
So Stadia Pro is that premium service that Stadia users can subscribe to if they wish. If you don't want the free service, you've got to wait until like maybe 6 months after launch. And then there will be a Stadia free tier for those peasants who wanted to wait. But, it gets better. So there have been discussions about like what's going to happen to your games if the Stadia service shuts down. I mean, because let's be fair, Google does not have the best track record for supporting something if it doesn't take off right away.
Uh-huh.
Google Plus. Google Fiber service in certain major cities. Sometimes they'll just cut their losses and cut out. So what happens what happens to your games if Stadia were to be shut down? They're like, well, you know, of course, moving to the cloud is scary. But we would never, ever take away your rights to Exhibit A, Your Honor. There have been, and I did some research, no fewer than 20 paid games on the Google Play Store that when license agreements ran out have been uninstalled from people's devices and they've been unable to re-download them.
I'd say you owe me some money.
Yeah. But no, they say, look, moving
digital
to the cloud
is
scary. They didn't actually answer the question, which I think is the most alarming thing because someone's like, what happens if like your servers are shut down or whatever? Here is, and this is the exact quote. I am not adding anything to this. I hear you. Moving to the cloud is scary. I felt the same way when music was transitioning from files to streaming. I still have all my old CDs in the garage, although it is hard to find a CD player these days. Smiley face.
In glaring intensifies?
Yeah.
Internal screaming.
He did go on to say...
Glares this, in German.
He did go on to say, the same happened to movies and photos and my documents and other files. And it's great! Games are no different. Oh, no, games are different, my friend.
Yes, they are.
Games are very different. So I don't believe them. I just don't believe them.
They have not yet earned my trust in this regard.
So, and I'm sorry if you're a Stadia fan. I'm sure that, look, it is a cool idea. And yeah, games as a service is already a thing. And we will probably get to this point, but not yet.
Yeah.
And not with them, I don't think.
But no, totally. You're going to be fine. Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows,
candy drops, and everything is wonderful when we take your money. All right. Before we get to this, I've got three reviews. Do you guys have anything else?
No.
Okay.
No, I've spoken enough.
See the last 100 and some episodes of...
Okay, fine. But we got a guest, so...
We should listen to that
we
guest.
We got a guest. Let's bring him in. All right, speaking with John Springer, I Heart Pizza, working on a series of Genesis games about, of all things, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Tell me a little bit about the project that you're working on right now. What's it called? What's it about? That kind of thing.
Well, the first two words I need to say are thank you. Thank you. Such a blessing to be here and to speak to you, and I appreciate the opportunity so much. And we're just overwhelmed, my wife Aaliyah and I, with the response from the community to our nerdy, geeky Fort Wayne video game project. I think maybe at some point we all grew up and thought, gee, what about Double Dragon? What about Streets of Rage? What about Final Fight? What if that were our hometown? At some point, I think everybody may have had that little fantasy. We wanted to open a pizza place. We are opening a pizza place. And to that end, I was out to eat with my mom about 11 years ago. And she goes, okay, so you want to open this pizza place. Why don't you make your own video game? And I thought, well, that's amazing, but we'll never pull it off. How do you make a Genesis game in 2000, whatever it was at the time,
right.
2010. but the idea stuck. And lo and behold, here we are. One game is now turned into 24. we've turned Fort Wayne into a trilogy. It's not quite finished yet. I've waited years to tell this story because I'm on my third Fort Wayne video game. We finally figured out how to do it the best possible way. We actually want to invite local businesses to be in our Fort Wayne theme video game, and I am not looking for money. I just want to make the biggest shout out to this city and the coolest thing that Fort Wayne has ever seen. And so I think your listeners may understand this. Say that you're playing like River City Ransom or, you know, Double Dragon or whatever, and you go into Wooden Nickel here in Fort Wayne to just throw a business out there.
Yeah, the record shop.
Record shop, yeah. Right. So in video game Fort Wayne, you'd walk into Wooden Nickel, it would show their contact information and all that, it'd show product, and you'd be able to buy an album or whatever. And it'd be like, oh, you bought album, 15 HP or whatever. You get a little power up to help you along your way in video game Fort Wayne. The cool thing is once that's the game's over, I, the real John, will be able to see what stores you visited in video game Fort Wayne. And I'll be able to give you a real life coupon or voucher to redeem at the actual storefront.
Nice.
So we're using local art to promote local commerce and make the biggest shout out to Fort Wayne possible. That's our vision. We think this could really, really, really be special, not just for the nerdy, geeky community, but for the whole city.
That's very cool. Now, you mentioned that this is an 11-year journey. How long did it take you to kind of really grasp game development in general? I mean, that sounds like such a difficult road to go down.
It is a nightmare. Honestly, I have never written a line of code. I have never drawn a single pixel. I have never written a chiptune in my life, and it was baptismal by fire. None of this would be possible without the unbelievable help of a small army of folks, many of whom, local and regional artists, you know, 80% of it's done here in Fort Wayne. We've worked with about 70 folks from 5 different continents now, and that's honestly, it's incredible. What my process, what my role in all of this is, I'm the producer. You understand what a producer does, Darren, but it truly, I am deeply involved with every aspect of the development. Does this sound right? Does this work right? Does this person know what this person's doing? Will it all come together? Because making, it's one thing to make a video game. You know, in a modern game, you can put a game together very quickly. Making a retro, authentic, old school 16-bit video game or 8-bit or whatever, it's like doing microsurgery. The technology is so limited, we had to build our tools from scratch to make the games.
Right, because it's so many generations removed.
And there just wasn't hard. There wasn't any dev kits out there or whatever. You know, folks have gone out there and created this from the ground up. It's been a dream come true. Genesis is my favorite console of all time. I grew up with all of it. It's just such an amazing thing to be able to create games for my favorite console. And just such a blessing. And I'm so grateful for everybody who's involved with us. And truly, we couldn't do it without them. What I bring to it is vision. I just got this unbelievable imagination. I just can't turn it off. And for years, honestly, I thought that was a curse. I got bullied quite a bit when I was a kid. And that's a big part of why I want to put this pizza shop together, is just bring somebody where you're cool enough to go here. You're cool enough and you belong here. And this is fun. It's fun and it's local and it's family and it's friends and it's great memories. And I just can't stop, you know, one game's turned into 24 and
let's talk a little bit about, something a little bit more personal. I was reading up on your story. And you went through like a health scare that it seems to me maybe encouraged you to kind of push forward a little bit more on this. Can you talk to us about that?
Absolutely. So, boy, it takes me back. It's hard to go back to that place a little bit. But circa 2007, 8, somewhere around there, you know, turned 30 years old, diagnosed with stage 4B cancer. Living in Lanigan, Saskatchewan, Canada. I had to leave the country to get a date. Worked out amazingly well. my beautiful bride, I wish she were here to visit with us too. But so I was living in Canada, and we actually had bought a home here in Fort Wayne and started the immigration process. The day that we filed our paperwork at the U.S. consulate in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, shouts to Brett Hitman Hart.
Yeah.
I woke up with this grapefruit size thing in my armpit.
Oh, geez.
And I thought that it was from working out with free weights. I actually ended up being misdiagnosed 4 times. And, you know, it took months to get an ultrasound done. They go, when are you going back to the United States? And I said, tomorrow at 6 a.m. They said, nope, you're getting a biopsy right now. You sit there and you wait for the results. It's just that gripping fear I can't put into words. It felt like the touch of death. And I just couldn't, I mean, it's hard to even conceptualize what that is. But got the phone call from the doctor. And he goes, you have stage 4B cancer. We don't know what it is. It's either going to be imminently treatable, what Mario Lemieux had, or it's going to be, it's lymphoma, and you might have a couple months. And we won't know for 10 days. And
with no pressure there.
I can't tell you what that feels like. I didn't tell anyone. I didn't know how to respond to it. I didn't want to put my family or friends through that. But what it did is it galvanized my passion for starting a business. It galvanized my dream to make something special for my community, my hometown where I grew up. And it just ignited my passion for this. It just, it gave me a purpose. You know, it really did. It gave me purpose while I just felt so terrible going through chemo, radiation, losing the hair, just feeling so bad all the time. Taste buds, everything goes weird. And all I did during that time was work on this stuff. I just kept asking, you know, anybody could throw a bunch of video games in a pizza place and I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah, yeah.
But what can we do to really be special? And I've asked myself that. What can we do to be unique? What can we do to celebrate our community? Honestly, that's what I asked myself each and every day. And I've been doing that now for 11 years. And thankfully, I'm on the other side. It feels like a bad dream. I've got my health, I'll never forget that day when it was like, okay, you get to come home.
So this is a restaurant that's coming to around the Georgetown area, in Fort Wayne. And this is something that you guys are hoping to open up soon. Can you tell me about like what that's going to look like, what that experience is going to be like?
I would be so amazingly happy to tell you. I am making the thing that 12-year-old John Springer desperately wanted and maybe even needed in Fort Wayne.
Okay, a 37-year-old Darren Wright's looking forward to it. So,
I am so thankful. We've got one customer. Yes. yes, we've acquired a property. And truly, it's one of a kind. We're calling it the world's greatest 16-bit or retro video game pizza place. And that is the title that we're shooting for. It used to be a real estate office, but truly it's a repurposed house. It's zoned for both commercial and residential use. There's 7 rooms in the house and a paved parking lot and everything. And we're going to have folks come in and set it up just like living rooms in the 90s or the 80s. And just geek it all out. We're going to put our history on our walls with our 24 games. Just tell our story. It's just co-op couch play with pizza and friends and family. You get to have your own little private space and your own little living room. We've got 7 living rooms, and you just get to hang out, and we've got thousands of games. You will not be bored.
The big question is, when do we get to play it? When do we get to see some of these games that you're working on?
We are going to open next year. Our pizza place is going to be named something different than iHeart Pizza.
Okay, all right.
The game company is iHeart Pizza. We do not we have a name for the location yet, but we can't announce it. We're trying to legally lock it all down and stuff.
That's fair.
So, but people will know who we are. I'm confident they'll figure us out. There's only one place in town stupid enough to make Genesis games about Fort Wayne. But yes, we're looking at maybe fall of next year, give or take. You know, we could have done it this year and maybe been 60% of what I want it to be, but really, really, really trying to push for something special. We really, really want to make something world-class and one-of-a-kind that our community is proud of.
And the games will be playable at the store then?
Or? Absolutely, yes. Now, there is a possibility we may put the games out in various formats eventually. Right now, they're kind of like my trump cards.
I'm telling you, I'd love to have it on my Switch right now. I'm just saying.
I would love it if you had it on your Switch right now. It'd make me so happy. Honestly, we really hope that this resonates with folks. You know, geeks, non-geeks, whoever. We want it to be special.
And again, if you missed any of that interview, you didn't hear the full interview, of course, just rewind a few minutes. Or you can check out iHeart Pizza on Facebook, mm-hmm. on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Really appreciate John coming in. John's a fan of the podcast, by the way, now.
I'm glad for it. So. I said the only thing that had me just a little bit excited / concerned was that notion of being able to, in real time, say, oh, you visited this store in the game. Here's a coupon for that store in real life. And it wasn't it.
I mean, it's a cool marketing idea.
It is a cool marketing idea, and I thought it was going to be like if I'm playing in Iowa,
yeah.
and he's able to see it. But this is at his location,
yeah,
at
locally
his store. He can see these kind of things. That makes me feel better.
Yeah, which you know, y'all should totally come to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and visit me. Just the audience in general.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take you to iHeart Pizza.
So, and it. Honestly, that's exactly what Sony and everybody else is doing with the trophies.
Yes.
You know,
so they're watching you.
They're seeing every trophy just like, oh, he went out of his way to get that.
Yeah.
He collected all the backpacks.
Well, I have a...
Sucker.
I have a rather hefty pile of shame, so I ended up like pulling 3 games out just to try to like make some progress. So wow. Let's get to that.
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
Okay, so we talked about it a little bit when pitching the Twitch channel. Moonlighter's so great, y'all.
I really enjoyed watching the stream.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so...
I really enjoyed watching him watch the stream.
Yeah, so...
I didn't watch the screen. I literally just sat there and looked at chat.
It was a little bit creepy after a while, so...
Well, if you're unfamiliar with...
Why does everybody keep saying that about me?
I think it's because you like slowly take your clothes off as you're watching.
Yeah, I think the lotion is probably the worst
part. It was warm.
I don't see how that could be. The air conditioning was running full bore.
I am a very hot-natured individual.
Clearly.
And as far as
the Moonlighter, please interrupt him. So, panics in English.
All right, so. Oh, that was great.
His goats are heading to the mountain.
So for those of you who are unfamiliar with Moonlighter, it's a game by 11-Bit Studios, and it follows a simple premise. You know, in action RPGs like Zelda or whatever, you go into a shop and there's a bunch of like items and weapons in there. Those came from somewhere. Where'd the shopkeeper get those? This kind of explores that idea. You run a shop during the day where you sell the items to adventurers or whatever, but at night, you embark on quests into these caves nearby town to hunt monsters and collect these weapons and items that you then go back to your shop, set prices for, and sell, and lather, rinse, repeat. It is a business simulator / dungeon crawler.
Nice.
And it is so much fun. It's available for free, as I said, in the Epic Game Store. Also, if you have Microsoft Xbox Game Pass, I'm pretty sure Moonlighter is also on the PlayStation Network. So much fun. Highly recommend. I can't say enough about it. You just go watch the stream. Watch the stream. The difficulty kind of ramps up in certain places, so there is a lot of like repeating. But the beauty to this is the dungeons are all procedurally generated, which means that no dungeon is ever the same. You leave the dungeon, you come back the next night, and the rooms are in a different layout, there are different monsters, and there's different loot. So there's 4 dungeons to unlock, I think 5 actually to unlock. And I have played maybe 30 hours of this game, and I am still on the second dungeon. But I'm having a blast. It's one of those one more round kind of games where...
One of those games where you just play,
yeah,
and then you play again, and it's like, you know, things are getting a bit intense, so you go back to your shop.
Yeah.
And then it's like you rest. It's like hitting the reset button on your own brain.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it's like,
I can do one more run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good now.
And as your shop expands, more people come to town, more shopkeepers come to town, you can upgrade your little store.
Hopefully with security.
Yeah, you do have to watch out for shopkeepers, and you have to like tackle them before they get out. Shoplifters. You have to tackle them before they get out the door. But if you're not quick enough, your customers who are waiting to pay for their items will just leave with their items. So yeah, there's a lot to juggle, but it's super fun. Love the art style. It's very reminiscent of like Super Nintendo-ish kind of graphics. I love it.
Link.
And I want a tip. Yeah.
Super Nintendo, yeah.
And a tip of the hat to Greg Miller of Kind of Funny Games, who turned me on to this game. Can't recommend it enough. Go play Moonlighter now. Be like me.
Nice.
Oh my gosh, be like me. Ukulele is a game that I received from Gamefly. Don't be like me.
Okay.
Rent games from Gamefly. Be like me in that regard.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is not a reflection of Gamefly.
No, this is not their fault.
This is actually one of their greatest gifts to us.
Because you know whether or not, because I had considered buying Ukulele because I'd heard praise from people who love Banjo-Kazooie.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh, this is just like that. But
people who like Banjo-Kazooie should not be trusted to like a game called Ukulele.
Well, it's the whole point. It's another musical pun. Yeah. Ukulele is Banjo-Kazooie, except you replace the bear with a lizard and you replace the bird with a bat.
Huh.
That's pretty much it. It's the same platforming. It's the same really annoying voice acting. Every time I start a dialogue, I have to listen to that. And none of the voices are good. There's a... And then there's... And there's just a collection of like... Imagine if you have a small child. Imagine them making the most annoying noise.
Done.
And then doing that, babbling it on a repeating basis.
Oh, done.
For like the next 20 hours.
Yeah, that's
done.
About
yeah,
right.
That's parenthood.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you should play that game for like the next 4 years and know what our hell has been.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to. I got through like the first hub world, and it's platforming. It's gameplay is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is it's just fine. It's mediocre. It's dare I say it, tedious at times.
That's the worst thing you can say about a game is that it's just
It just exists. So I would say rent it first, but in this case, I'm going to have to give it a pass. Don't do it. Mm. Don't do it. It's not worth your time. Yeah. You know what is worth your time is... What is worth your time is Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. Yes! Okay. Jesus Christ. Calm down. All right. So, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 is done by Koei Tecmo, published by Nintendo. So it's a Nintendo Switch exclusive. And some people bitch about that. But you know what? Get over it. It's just like the Bayonetta 2 situation. If you're a big fan of the series, be happy that it's still around.
Yep.
Stop whining. First world problems. That being said, my gosh, this game is great. It is very difficult, though. They ramped up the difficulty considerably because the first two Ultimate Alliance games and the X-Men Legends and all that, it's a Diablo clone, essentially. It's, you know, top-down view, although in 3 you can actually get the camera to move like directly behind your character, but that also leads to some camera problems. Sometimes the camera just decides it's going to nope off and do whatever the hell it wants to do. And so I'm playing as Captain Marvel, and I'm trying to take out this boss, and there is one boss fight that can go straight to hell. Doctor Strange. I'll get back to that. But the camera just decides, yeah, I've seen this. And it just kind of turns around. It just turns its head. I'm going to look over here, and I'm going to look at what Wolverine is doing, because Wolverine is more interesting. Yeah, that's annoying. But the gameplay, it's solid. There's a lot of colors. It's really colorful, which is nice for today's day and age. And it's just fun. If you're a comic fan, specifically a Marvel fan, but just comic fan in general, I do recommend you try it out. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good stuff in there. There's a running joke that Cyclops can't fight worth a shit. And so every time he shows up on camera, he gets knocked off screen. But some of the boss fights, they ramp the difficulty up considerably. There is a scene in the sequence in the game, maybe about two-thirds of the way, where Doctor Strange is possessed by Dormammu.
Makes sense.
And I don't feel like I should put a spoiler alert here because it's an Ultimate Alliance game. Of course Doctor Strange is in it. Mm-hmm. You have to beat this motherfucker twice. I know that's a second one. I'm sorry, but I'm just so angry about this stupid boss fight. Where
at least not in the gaming segment,
right?
Yeah, it was just a bad. I don't
a bad time.
I don't mind dying in a game if I can understand what I did wrong. Mm-hmm. This is just an unfair boss fight where the screen is full of projectiles. There's no way you can dodge. And he also has a barrier in addition to a health bar, so it just keeps refilling. So after a while, you're like, I don't want to play this anymore. I did get past it, but I can see where that would be where a lot of people just jump off. So I would say if I had to give it a letter grade, B, because that Doctor Strange boss fight takes it down from an A. So be like me, but if difficult gameplay frustrates you easily, rent it from Gamefly first.
Nice. So
Gamefly, you don't need pants.
Yeah.
Trademark. Or copyright.
Copyright Justin White. Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't see a review, but didn't you play Dead Cells for
Yes, Dead Cells was also a stream game.
Because that one, I watched that one. I was like, you know what? This one looks...
It's good.
Like, fun.
It's good. It's difficult. But it's a fun game.
It's kind of supposed to be.
Yeah. Dead Cells was probably best known for a controversial review where an IGN reviewer, who is now terminated, copied word for word a review from a smaller blog site and just assumed no one would notice. I mean, if you watch the reviews side by side, it's obvious what happened. But and so I felt we should give it a chance because everyone kind of knows it as, it's that game that got ripped off. Dead Cells is super fun. It's a side-scrolling game that kind of uses a little bit of the Dark Cells, Demon Souls, that kind of thing. Difficulty.
It's intentionally difficult.
Yes, thank you.
But not trying to be unfair.
Yeah, it's not unfair. And it's visually fun. And
It seemed that you were moving very quickly through the game. It's Metroidvania style.
It's a Metroidvania style.
Verticality.
You can go back and explore places once you unlock new abilities, that kind of thing.
And so but as I'm watching, I'm just like, I don't know what's going on right now. It's okay. There's no story. Are you sure?
Yeah, there's no story. not really. There's no story.
Because he's just running around and Now he's being killed.
And now I'm back.
And now he's a pile of goo. Oh,
he's back.
A body.
Yeah. So it's fun. I do recommend it. And, you know, that's a perfect example of why you should follow us on Twitch.
And why you should check out Gamefly.
Yeah, and you should check out Gamefly, because that was a Gamefly game, yes.
That's one that I would not probably buy on my own.
Yeah.
I have Dark Souls. I have
But you can rent it, play it to completion if you want, and then send it back when you're done.
Or play it until you say, you know what? I've hit my Doctor Strange moment.
Like ukulele.
Now it's time to send it back.
Yeah. Gamefly, you don't need pants. Copyright Justin White. Yeah. That's all I got for gaming. I know this is a longer episode than usual. We do appreciate John Springer from iHeart Pizza coming in and telling us about all of these retro games that he's working on. 24 Sega Genesis games in 2019.
That's a lot of games.
And
we look forward to having some good pizza.
Yes. We do heart pizza indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, thanks to our sponsors, Shirtosaurus, GameStop,
Gamefly. You don't need fans. Copyright Justin White.
Download the movie and comics segments on your favorite podcast services. We'll see you soon.